and Radio Max Takoradi. Coming up, the Ghana Private Road Transport Union suspends its planned 30% fare increase pending the outcome of the next fuel price review.
Our investigations, you know, prove to us that even the next price window is likely the fuel price may go up again. So we are still holding on, you know, with the decision of this 30% increment proposal.
Well, we have details as experts warn fuel prices could rise further between 18 cedis and 19 cedis per litre by the end of the week if tensions in the Middle East persist. Also this afternoon, as Ghana moves to enforce a complete ban on the use of styrofoam, traders dealing in the product appeal to the government for subsidies and support, saying they are unlikely to sell off their remaining stock before the deadline. We have more as we bring you the EPA's recommended alternatives to styrofoam. Also, private legal practitioner Ken Crunchy is rejecting suggestions his Supreme Court case challenging the presidential term limits is meant to secure a third term for President John Dramani Mahama.
You see, it's not about a third term. It's about whether he is eligible to stand for another term.
And as far as your reading is concerned, he's eligible to?
That may be the effect.
And there's some good news for kidney patients. Thousands of Ghanaians living with kidney failure could soon spend less on treatment as the Kolebu Teaching Hospital rolls out a home-based dialysis program. With these and more with me, Mami Sinyamiche Thompson, this is Joy News, independent, fearless and credible. Do stay with us. And we go into the details now. The Ghana Private Road Transport Union has suspended its proposed 30% increase in transport fares as it monitors developments in the next fuel pricing window. The union had earlier announced the planned adjustment but put it on hold following the engagements with government, which appealed to transport operators to allow more time for efforts to reduce fuel prices. With the next pricing window due on Friday, the union says it will assess movements in petroleum prices before deciding on the proposed fare adjustments. The proposed increase comes amid renewed pressure on petroleum prices, with diesel currently selling at about 18 cedis per litre and petrol at about 14 cedis per litre. Samuel Amwise, Deputy Public Relations Officer of the Ghana Private Road Transport Union.
Yesterday before 6 o'clock, I wasn't around, but then my leadership called that they met. And when they met, you know, they asked them to hold on and that they are working on things to see towards that the fuel price might come down. But to us, you know, our investigations, you know, prove to us that even the next price window is likely the fuel price may go up again. So we are still holding on, you know, with the decision of this 30% increment proposal to see coming Friday, I believe the next window will open for us to see what will happen at the pump. Then we also know what to do. So that's the latest development. The diesel now is 17 cedis, 78 pesos, yes, a little to 18 cedis. Petrol is also 14 cedis, I think 95 pesos, a little to 15 cedis. The impact is, you know, now a driver will work and at the close of that, you will not get anything to be taken home. They can't meet their sales, because the fuel is very, very high. The close of the day, this small money that they've been taking from passengers, they will gather them, then they will use all to go and buy fuel. So that is what is disturbing the business now. Prior to that, there are areas that the drivers even don't want to, you know, ply, because when they go and come, they won't get anything. So that is the problem we are facing for now.
Well, let's speak to economist Professor William Pepper joining us on Zoom. We're grateful for your time, sir. How significant will another increase in fares be for food prices and other goods and services, given Ghana's dependence on it, especially on road transport or transportation of our foods?
Good afternoon and for having me. So this is going to be a major challenge because we all know when fuel prices are increasing in Ghana, it has an impact on transport, and then it will straight away will affect distribution of food, and then from there it will also affect other consumer items. The challenge is that it's going to affect the general pricing index, which is the inflation, and also lead to a major challenge in price, general price items in Ghana. Another impact, as we see this happening, is going to put pressure on importation of the cost of importing fuel is going to go high, and this will also going to affect balance of payment account at the central bank, where currency leading to a CD devaluing. And this, when the CD devalues, also will have an impact on inflation. So it's something that is very, very significant, and the government must pay attention to it and see, hey, what can we do to mitigate these pressures that are coming in? What I'm reading online is that there's a general indication that should the conflict between Iran and U.S. come down, prices may normalize and we may see a bit of decline. We've also noticed a pattern where tankers that are not able to go through the Strait of Hormuz are using the Red Sea, and that route has also become very long for Africa. Is there a time for Ghana to now talk to our brother in Nigeria to see what support they can also give to us to reduce the cost? We all know, Dangote has complained that sometimes moving crude around Africa is expensive. Government may have to come together to say, can we find a way to mitigate these costs? So these are some of the things probably I'm expecting government to be looking at to say we have to come up with mitigation measures. Just with probably, I don't know if they'll be thinking of a reduction of one CD. It will not have a major impact, but the major impact is they have to look for a supply line that will be able to get a cheaper crude. Mm. We've also heard of the TOR coming in to do some refinery.
Right.
If that can also come in handy, it's going to help reduce the price of petrol and diesel in Ghana.
Well, talking about subsidies from government, they've done that already previously. Will that strategy be sustainable moving forward? Especially, what can we do? Because we know that TOR is producing or refining, but that hasn't significantly changed our situation domestically.
I mean, let me put it, the one city probably will just a way to mitigate the pressures, and then probably to slow down transporters increasing the price. But from the look of things, it looks like transporters, if it continues this way, they may come out and still increase the price. The signal effect is more important if government decides to go on that route to say, let's do something like that. But I'm foreseeing that with the coming election in the U.S., where the Republican government wants to do something to win the elections, probably they may go to the negotiation table with Iran, and indication from IEA point to the fact that they expect the future Brent crude prices to come down if the negotiation starts. And so, yes, doing something about it, one city will help, but global impact is also something that is significant.
All right, grateful for your time, Professor William Pepper. He is an economist. Well, there are concerns that fuel prices could rise further, with diesel projected to reach 19 cedis per litre by the end of this week if current international market conditions persist, as Professor William has said. Well, Executive Director of the Chamber of Petroleum Consumers, Duncan Amor, says government's decision to have local refineries process Ghana's crude may have limited impact on pump prices if the crude remains dollar indexed.
I was of the view that government saw this coming, and for which it decided to get some of the refineries, Central and TOR, to process our local crude. But when we met with TOR last week, the indication we got was that they are simply doing a commercial transaction, which is to say that they are paying for real-time prices for the crude, and again, they are also paying in the dollar index. So back to the question of the CD. Just a week ago, the city was struggling. If you put that together with international benchmarks going up, the effect is what you are seeing at the pumps. But I am hopeful that the government will come to some decision on how to intermediate so that we do not get to the 19, the 20, and again the 15, the 16 for petrol and diesel. If that happens, I do not see how government could be able to cool it any further because, again, the city is dragging. International benchmarks are also dragging on prices.
Well, Duncan Amwa is proposing that government targets tax reliefs and the activation of a strategic petroleum reserve.
Government will need to look at it again from the side of supplying crude to the local refineries. Again, government still has the option of intervening with some of the taxes like it did not long ago. Thirdly, government should look at the strategic reserve program and ensure that we do not continue to sleep on it. Put some few people somewhere that you can have a program where in times when prices are lower, government can use that fund to buy and store products with the bulk oil storage and transportation to ensure that when you get to such times when prices are looking quite steep on the international market, government could intervene with already refined products that they can put out for the OMCs to be able to contain prices. Any of these three propositions, I'm sure government could intervene positively on the market.
And you heard that Duncan Amwa, he's with COPEC. The education think tank, Africa Education Watch, is urging government to resist rushing the rollout of Ghana's revised kindergarten and primary school curriculum, warning that the reforms will fail without adequately trained teachers, sufficient learning material, sustainable financing, and a phased implementation plan. Government's revised kindergarten and primary school curriculum seeks to improve learning outcomes by shifting classroom teaching from rote memorization to critical thinking, creativity, collaboration, and problem solving. But Africa Education Watch says this cannot be rushed. And let's speak to Kofi Asari, and he's with Africa Education Watch. Thank you very much, Kofi. Government says this curriculum is designed to prepare children for technology-driven future, including introducing artificial intelligence. You say that it shouldn't be rushed. How realistic or how appropriate should this program progress?
Well, thank you. It is within our contemplation that, and most importantly, drawing from the lessons from the introduction of the current curriculum in 2019, that having critical building blocks relevant for implementing the curriculum being in place, and also a stringent monitoring mechanism that fits into continuous improvement. The two are critical in ensuring curriculum success. Curriculum success in Ghana has very little to do with the content. It has more to do with the implementation plan. So, cognizant of how the previous flashed notebooks and that, we are minded that the point that the government publishes a curriculum implementation readiness plan, clearly defined activities, you know, responsibilities, timelines, reporting requirements, etc. So that we don't box ourselves into the corner and simply say that the government has given us 1 year to start rolling it out. No. But it should be government is saying they will do A, B, C, D, and E before rolling it out. So if it takes 3 years for government to ensure teacher preparedness, to ensure that teaching and resources are available, to ensure that there's a robust monitoring and evaluation framework in place, to ensure that NACA is empowered to monitor and provide support towards the curriculum rollout, then it should take 3 years. So it's a matter of having milestones determining when implementation readiness is determined, rather than having calendar timelines.
Right. And if government insists on implementing the curriculum in the 2027-2028 academic year, what specific benchmarks should be met first to ensure pupils are genuinely benefiting from that curriculum?
The first is that government has ensured that all teachers are adequately trained and are ready to uptake, you know, the curriculum. And then second and most importantly, teaching and learning resources be available, because the curriculum proposes a shift from the current record-based assessment to a much more task-based assessment system. And so if we don't provide the resources for instruction, for pedagogy, and for assessment, we may not benefit from the reviewed curriculum. And so teacher preparation and then provision of teaching and resources is a critical ingredient, a sine qua non for curriculum readiness to be determined.
Thank you very much, Kofi Asare, for joining us this afternoon. Moving on, private legal practitioner Ken Crunchy has dismissed claims that a case he has filed at the Supreme Court is an attempt to pave the way for President John Mahama to seek a third term in office. Mr. Crunchy is asking the Supreme Court to interpret Article 66(2) of the 1992 Constitution, which sets out Ghana's presidential term limits. He argues that when the Constitution is read as a whole, it could lead to different interpretation from the widely accepted understanding of the article. Speaking on PM Express on Monday, Mr. Crunchy said the suit is intended to seek clarity on the constitutional interpretation of presidential term limits, particularly the issue of consecutive terms, although he acknowledged that if the Supreme Court rules in his favor, the interpretation could ultimately benefit President John Mahama.
There's an ambiguity. There's a genuine ambiguity. That is why we are not depending on, unlike the other petitioner, we are not depending on Article 66(2) alone. We are voting other clauses of the other articles and clauses of the 1980 Constitution, like Article 264, 2462, and all that. That read the Constitution as a whole, then you may come to a certain conclusion.
But do you accept that the effect of what you've done, if indeed the Supreme Court entertains it, may lead to John Mahama going for a third term?
I was asked this question and I don't have a problem with it. You see, it's not about a third term. It's about whether he is eligible to stand for another term.
And as far as your reading is concerned, he's eligible to?
That may be the effect, but that is not what we are seeking. In fact, if you read my race, it doesn't mention Mr. Mahama.
Well, law lecturer Professor Kwejua Piejetia says some actions of the government point to a Mahama third term agenda.
I'm not saying any way that I'm concluding John Mahama wants to go for a third term. But look at the regional tribunal system. It can aid that particular third term agenda. Look at how the Chief Justice was removed from office. It can support that third term agenda. The number of Supreme Court justices that we are seeing addition to them at the Supreme Court, it's another sign. And I'm looking at this all from the experiences of other countries where third termism starts slowly, but it begins to snowball. And then if there's a possibility of going by the soft approach, through legal means, which are still compromised and, done in and manipulated, the third term comes into place, or the hard approach, which leads to violations of human rights along the way, and the president bulldozes his way, even within his political party.
And here, the Professor Piejetia.
The reusable bowls, which we used to use, caps we used to send to buy our cocoa, let's get back to them. Again, we have very presentable paper packs.
And those are alternatives the Environmental Protection Agency is recommending as Ghana moves to completely ban the use of styrofoam commonly used for takeaway food packaging. At a sensitization program to educate traders and other stakeholders on the impending ban, the EPA urged sellers and users of the product to comply with a new directive. But before we hear from the EPA, listen to the concerns of traders who sell styrofoam products.
No name who miss market ma biake. Paper na akeba. Ejalaye market kene jala. Ke won kwa different agboyemi. Ale no ambahanso. Bena fe ne keni homo e keni bi afe pepe pe allo.
Ke won wona take away. Wonya won fini rubber bag mi. Wo mi biake paper ne ba. Abanyene adistribute and hamo fiamo.
And you heard that traders calling on government to provide subsidies to cushion the impact of the ban. Others are appealing for their remaining stock to be exchanged for the approved alternatives. While responding, the EPA CEO Nana Ama Brown Kluge asked the traders to stop purchasing styrofoam products in bulk to avoid incurring losses when the ban takes effect in January 2027. She also outlined the improved or approved alternatives that traders and consumers should begin adopting.
So now the alternatives, which we all must embrace, is the reusable bowls, which we used to use, as the market woman said, our Aiwa, back to them. The bowls we used to send buy our wache. Let's get back to them. The bowls or caps we used to send to buy our cocoa, let's get back to them. Again, we have very presentable paper packs, aluminium foil. Aluminium foils, we can recycle them. These paper packs are biodegradable. The leaves for wache, we can use them same leaves also for our banku. Our plantain leaves are still usable for our banku. Let's get back to them. Like the way we still do our kenke. Let's get back to these leaves for our use. And there are even health benefits when we use these leaves. So for the takeaway packs we are banning, the alternatives are available. I also heard about the costs of the alternatives. Yes, they are expensive because the demand is not there. Once we all have a demanding, or we all demand these paper packs or the alternative, the aluminium foil, and the prices will become cheaper because the producers will have job to do. The producers will produce more, and once there's demand and there's supply, all of us will be comfortable and it will be as cheap we wanted.
And you are there, Professor Nanama Brown-Kluche. She's CEO of the Environmental Protection Authority. And you're still listening to the Midday News here on Joy 99.7 FM. We'll take a break when we return. Thousands of Ghanaians living with kidney failure could soon spend less on treatment as Kulibu Teaching Hospital rolls out a home-based dialysis program.
The Joy News Habitat Fair is leveling up.
Thanks for staying with us. Now, for thousands of Ghanaians living with kidney failure, staying alive comes at a huge financial cost. Many spend thousands of cedis every month on dialysis while traveling long distances several times a week just to receive treatment. But that could soon change. Doctors at Kulibu Teaching Hospital are introducing a new home-based program that will allow eligible patients to receive life-saving treatment from the comfort of their homes, cutting down hospital visits and easing the financial burden. From the Joy News Health Desk, here's Namoko's report read to you.
For many kidney failure patients, dialysis is a lifeline, but it is also one of the most expensive treatments they have to undergo. Beyond paying for every dialysis session, patients often spend money on transportation and lose valuable hours traveling to and from hospital several times each week. For some families, the financial burden becomes too much to bear, forcing patients to delay or even miss treatment. Doctors believe that needs to change. The Kulibu Teaching Hospital, in collaboration with the Komfanochi Teaching Hospital, Bank Hospital and kidney specialist from the United States, has introduced peritoneal dialysis, an alternative form of dialysis that allows eligible patients to safely manage their treatment at home after receiving specialized training. Nurse educator for the peritoneal dialysis pilot program, Matilda Adams, explains how the treatment works.
Peritoneal dialysis is not a new form of treatment. It's an old practice, very effective, allows patients to be more independent as opposed to being tethered to a machine three times a week.
Sangeeta Hingurani, professor of pediatrics at the University of Washington, says the new approach is designed to make dialysis more accessible and less burdensome for some patients. Apart from reducing the need for frequent hospital visits, home-based dialysis is expected to lower transportation costs, give patients greater flexibility in their daily lives, and improve access to treatment, especially for those living far from dialysis centers. The program has started with a pilot involving 50 patients. Medical teams will closely monitor participants to assess the treatment's safety, effectiveness, and its impact on their quality of life before considering a nationwide rollout.
Now, Chairman Wontumi, who was a vocal critic of then-candidate John Mahama, says he's reflected on some of the things he said during the heat of the political contest and is prepared to make amends. Speaking in an interview with the media, the NPP stalwart said his willingness to apologize is not an indication that he has abandoned his political beliefs, but rather recognition that some of his comments may have crossed the line.
The American in the same soon saying a futu, Nasimin soon saying a chopper, Anna, means also so Emma a chopper. And tea, your macro to me a year. It may catch a master, we are sorry. How much more the first gentleman of the land? What I say, Timmy soon saying, sir.
Michiano, he's our president. Abra, na, or pet, no dear, Nasabreno, Naya dear.
When your air conditioner quits, you need it fixed. Fast. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of Care Heating and Cooling. Our technicians are paid to fix your HVAC system, not sell you a new one. We show up on time, diagnose the problem, and get you comfortable again without the high-pressure sales pitch. It's our commitment to honesty and craftsmanship that helped us win a BBB Torch Award for ethics and be recognized as Lennox's Partner of the Year in 2024. So call Care Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.